Can I just say, first of all, congratulations, because I understand you've signed a new contract with the Scarlets?
Yeah, not too far away. Just done the I's and crossing the T's, but yeah, hopefully I should find out a bit more in the next couple of days.
Excellent. Can everyone hear Beacon? Yeah? Put this down. Thank you, Dan. Dan, can you pick that up? Right, well, can you just tell us, first of all, where are you from?
Probably from the accent you can tell that I'm from New Zealand. I was born and bred there in New Zealand. My father is a local in a town called New Plymouth. If anyone's been to New Zealand or interested in rugby, it's the province is Taranaki. And it's a fantastic place to grow up. It's right on the coast of the North Island on the west coast. I grew up there, went to school there, and it wasn't until 17 where I left. But my family's all from there. My mother, she came over to New Zealand when she was a teenager from Fiji, and she's been there ever since. She met my father a couple of years after she arrived, and they got married. But I've got a huge family around New Plymouth. My grandfather was one of 23.
Oof.
They didn't have TV back then in New Zealand. I've got obviously a lot of cousins and family.
So you're a Kiwi born and bred, and does that explain how you got into rugby? Or?
I guess in New Zealand, it's almost like a religion over there. When you're sort of 2 years old, little kids are learning the haka then. It's pretty much part and parcel of being a New Zealander is rugby. Whether you play it or whether you follow it, so it's a big part of New Zealand culture, really. Yeah.
How did you get spotted? How did you get into the rugby system?
I got into rugby quite late in my life, when I was 19, so usually you have the academy squads and that picking you up when you're 15 or even younger. That was my first representative side when I was 19, up in Hamilton and Waikato. So I actually played golf before then.
Yeah.
But I realised I was the wrong body shape probably to swing a club for my job.
You haven't met Ian Wisdom, but tell us, you played for Waikato at 19, did you say?
Just under 19 team, really. It wasn't really.
And on the national scene then as well, or?
Not really. It wasn't until I was 21 years of age when I made my first national side, which was the New Zealand under 21s. And looking back on those years, I got to play with some fantastic players back then, like Richie McCaw. I was rooming with back then. You could tell then how fantastic a player he was then. And obviously his reputation precedes himself, really. He's, played over 100 caps for the All Blacks, which is no easy task in any stretch of the imagination.
Mm. And so you played for the under-21s team. Which other teams have you played for down under?
I just played for Waikato Super Rugby, that's the Chiefs. I played there for 2 years. Then I went to the Auckland Blues, which is another franchise, for 1 year, then another two in the Chiefs. And with Super Rugby, you get to travel over to places like we're shown up there in South Africa, in Australia, so it's... It's quite a good fun to be part of, you're away for long stretches from home.
Now, I've done my research on Deacon Manu, and I saw that you played for Blues for 9 caps. Not many people know that, but you played with Xavier Rush. Any other players for the Blues? Because wasn't Graham Henry coach
Graham,
then?
Yeah, that's right. Graham Henry was the coach then. We had a successful year that year. We had a extremely slick back line that won us the tournament that year. We had people like Carlos Spencer when he was in his prime, a Fijian winger.
Kau.
Yeah, that's it.
And Howlett, was he?
Doug Howlett was there as well. So we had a fantastic back line. We just sort of gave them the ball. And
you went to the final as well, didn't you?
Yes, yeah, we had the final at home.
Win the final?
Yeah, we managed to beat the Crusaders, which were the defending champions. That was
so you're a super, was it 12 then? Super 12 champion?
Yeah, that's it.
Superb. so then you went to Waikato. Was Gatlin there then, or?
Yeah, Warren Gatlin was there. I had had him for the Chiefs 1 year, and for a, I guess it would be similar to the semi-professional side, which is Waikato, which is the feeder team for the Chiefs.
So the symbols that you see on the invitation cards, those are the teams you've played for?
Yeah, that's correct.
Excellent. So then Waikato, we just saw footage of you playing alongside Carlos Spencer there for the Maoris. What was that like?
Yeah, it was pretty special. Probably give you a little bit of background about that game. We had got together about a week and a half before that match as a team, and it was our New Zealand Maoris versus the Irish and British Lions, and it was our coach's last game that he would be coaching the team for, and that was stretching for a period of about 15 years. We had just won our warm-up game the week before, and to beat the British Lions was fantastic. I still have very vivid memories of the training shed before we ran out, obviously at home, but I'm hearing the Lions supporters just chanting Lions, Lions was absolutely fantastic.
It only comes around every 12 years.
12 years, yeah.
And you thumped them. You thumped the Lions that day.
Yeah. I think it was only about 5 or 6 points.
Well, I looked at the footage, and Woodward had no idea how to run the Lions. But, okay, so again, Carlos Spencer, that was his last game, wasn't it?
That's correct, yeah.
So, anyway, tell us now, you've played Super 15 rugby, you've come up to Wales as well, but how would you compare Southern Hemisphere rugby with the North?
Yeah, it's obviously different dynamics in that. I think when I first started, I've been in Wales for the last 6 years with the Scarlets. When I first came, it was almost a transition stage for Welsh rugby. Over the last 3 or 4 years, you've seen a lot of the clubs moving to different training facilities, and for us, a new ground. And you know, that's made a huge difference, is the standards of playing fields and training facilities. Has helped, I'm told. Even the young guys coming through, you see people like George North coming through and other players there. And they've been in the academy systems for a long time now. And it's directly related to that. So it's, you know, fantastic to see the level of talent out there is really getting recognised and coming through.
So the North is improving, you would say?
Oh, definitely. And playing in Heineken Cup rugby, it's very similar to Super Rugby. You're playing the big French sides, and you usually hit a good stretch of nice weather. So you know, it's entertaining rugby as well.
Have you enjoyed every moment here in Wales, or?
There's a couple of winters where I've looked up in the sky and questioned my sanity. But no, we've had a fantastic last 6 years.
Yeah. Now on our table, we were discussing the fact that you nearly had a cap for Wales, is that right?
Yeah, the regulations are, if you are in a country for 3 years, you're eligible to play for that country. And there are a lot of injuries going on in the Welsh camp, and the management sort of said, you know, what are your thoughts? You'd probably only be in it for maybe one or two games, and it didn't really sit right. I felt I couldn't really do it, even though it would have been very proud and very special. I just didn't think that, seeing the way the Welsh are, and they're just a fantastic country. You know, if maybe I had been in Wales a little bit earlier, maybe 6 or 7 years, you know, I definitely would have seriously considered it then.
Yeah. And tell us, because you turned down Wales, I think Adam Jones had an injury at the time, didn't he? Because he's a tight head and you're a tight head.
That's correct.
So, who came looking for you then?
Yeah, Fiji had contacted me when I was playing in New Zealand to play for them. The timing wasn't quite right.
Back when you were playing in Waikato.
Yeah, and even when I initially came over, there was a Rugby World Cup on, but the timing still wasn't right for my family. So the third time around, you know, the timing felt right to start my, I guess, international career with Fiji.
And tell us which international teams you've played for, against?
Yeah, I was just looking at that list. on the quiz, probably 80% of them. So I didn't really realise, but it's a small world in the
rugby. And you've captained Fiji as well.
That's correct, yes.
Eight or nine times?
I'm not sure, yeah.
I've looked at your stats. I think it's nine. And did you captain against Wales as well?
Not the last outing, but the one over here in Wales.
Yeah.
In Millennium Stadium.
Was that the draw one? Or?
That's correct, yeah, that was the draw.
So you're responsible for that. Was it 16-16 or something like that?
I think so, yes.
Yeah, so we're not friends anymore. But anyway, so you've played in the Millennium Stadium against Wales, and that was just before the World Cup. World Cup happens then. You're leading your team out. Tell us, what was that like?
Being from New Zealand, it was pretty special for myself to firstly make a World Cup and to represent Fiji as the captain, and then to run out there, really. It was a special time. It was very humbling to know that I would be there. I'd never thought in my wildest dreams I would be playing in a World Cup in New Zealand. So it's fantastic to have the support and the family there. Yeah. And there's a real huge buzz, obviously, in New Zealand with it all.
Was it was there anything conflicting? Did you have aspirations to play for New Zealand? And playing?
Oh, certainly. As I said, growing up as a young kid, you know, you want to play for the All Blacks, and I was fortunate enough to make the All Blacks training squad on a number of occasions, but never able to make the test start. So in some ways, you know, I felt I was destined to always play for Fiji.
Yeah. Now I've been to a hotel where the Samoan team was staying, and I just passed the Samoan dressing room, and I could hear them all singing. What's that about? Is the Fijian dressing room similar, or what are they doing?
Pretty much, yeah. Like every night, so every evening, we'll have a prayer group. So the whole team will gather before for dinner, an hour before dinner. Then we'll have songs and have a prayer, read a scripture from the Bible. And you know that when you're not together for a long time, it brings the guys a lot closer. Very quickly, and that's just part of, I guess, island culture, Pacific Island culture. You'll see a lot of the guys with verses written on their hands, or on their jerseys, or even on their shoes. And you know, they're just trying to, take their beliefs onto the field or wherever they go, which is important. And we say a prayer before we go out and play, and we also say one after a game. When we played Samoa in the World Cup. There's a fantastic picture, if you Google it, on images. There's the Fijians and the Samoans all together in a big circle saying a prayer after 80 minutes of trying to hurt each other, I guess. Best way to describe it. But yeah, all saying a prayer in, together. So that's sort of the culture that is there in Pacific Island.
Do you get stuck in there? Do you lead some of the prayers and whatnot?
I didn't that one. I had to do an interview at that stage. But yeah, it's sort of shared amongst the whole team, really. And we've got a minister that travels with us the whole time.
Excellent. I just want to ask one question before I open it to the floor.
Yeah.
What's the highlight of your career?
Ooh, that's a good question. I've had so many. I've been so fortunate to have so many highlights. I think beating the British Lions was a huge thing, especially just being together and representing my family there in New Zealand. I had my family watching that day, and to beat arguably one of the best sides in the world, and for the first time with such the occasion, and that's a memory that will stick in my mind for a long time.
Yeah, you can go on YouTube and watch that match. It's brilliant. Right. Does anyone have questions? If you put your hands up, and the two lads in the back will come to you with the mics.
Do you know why your parents called you Deacon? Is that to do with Deacon, the Bible, or is it a name in the family?
That's a very good question. One of the first settlers from the UK, his name was William Deacon King. And he came over and married one of the chief's daughters. And from there, I've actually got a random letter in the post to the rugby union, to the Scarlets. I thought it was one of the guys playing a joke because it was handwritten and it just seemed surreal. But the person who I'm named after, his great-great-great-granddaughter, wrote me a letter saying the connection. So it was kind of a bizarre thing. But I've, I guess, joined up those connections now with my family over here in the UK all those generations ago. So it's, yeah, it's from there.
When and how did you become a Christian?
I guess I grew up as a Catholic from when I was a young age. I went to Catholic primary schools and Catholic high schools till I was 17. So I felt I knew what being a Christian was, really. I went to church on Sundays. I felt like I was ticking the boxes. I was trying to do as many good things as possible. Then I went to university up in Hamilton, where I studied for a number of years. And from there, I felt like I went off the path. Things that I thought were fun at the time were quite damaging to myself and the relationships that I had around me. And from there, it wasn't really till I questioned my Catholic upbringing when I came to Wales. It was something that I just felt empty. I wasn't really growing spiritually. And we're about to move over to France. We just finished our contract here in Wales, and we ended up moving next door to an elderly Christian couple. And you know, I remember praying one night, asking God to come into my life. So I just had this emptiness, this void. And we actually, as I said, moved next to this elderly couple, Christian couple. And we just had a baby about 6 months before we were about to leave as well. And he had very bad colic. So colic is when they pretty much don't stop crying. And the lady next door was an ex-health nurse. So she was over at our house pretty much every day helping us out. And just through that relationship there, we really got, I guess, explained about what being Christian is. It's about admitting that you're a sinner and that to have that personal relationship with Jesus who died for you on the cross.
Thank you, Deacon.
How do you find being a Christian in rugby?
It's a very good question. A lot of people would perceive rugby as been a pretty macho sport, and you know, in some ways it is, in some ways it isn't. I guess being a Christian and being a rugby player, you know, I would have loved to being a doctor or even being a football player wouldn't have been too bad. But you know, the talent that I got was rugby. You know, so I have to use my talent that God gave to my best of ability. There was a Garen Jenkins said that, you know, it's like having a cure for cancer. You know, you wouldn't keep it to yourself and not share it. And you know, that's the message of Christ that I have here today, is eternal life. You know, and that's pretty special. Rugby players, there's a lot of young guys coming through. You know, there's a lot of, I guess, bad and good influences on their lives. And for someone to be a Christian in there, you know, you can see what's going on. You can see some guys going this way and that, you know, and just being there, a lot of the guys know I'm a Christian, you know, a lot of guys have sort of opened up to me in terms of going to Sunday school when they were young and, you know, just questioning their own beliefs. So, you know, it's not a typical working environment being a rugby player, but, you know, it's like any other working environment or school, you know, people are, you always have your challenges, and rugby in any work environment's no different. People are always going to question you, and some people may even ridicule you. It's just kind of lucky that I'm bigger than most of them, so if they get smarter, I'll have to teach them a lesson. But seriously, you just have to just be strong, really, and you think about the Christians all over the world, even today, dying for their beliefs. So you know, you can always shrug certain comments off from individuals.
What do you meet with other Christians in the sport?
Just for the Rugby World Cup, a booklet of players who are Christians. One of them was Brad Thorne, the All Black lock. He just won a Heineken Cup competition last week. He was with the winning All Blacks as well. He was in the book. So, you know, there's a little bit of a network going on there. I contacted Ewan Murray, the Scottish prop as well, because he's obviously a believer as well. So, you know, it's fantastic to have that fellowship, especially with Garen, with the Scarlets coaching as well.
Mm. And what about George North and them? How do they look at you? Do they look down on you because you believe in Jesus?
Oh, no, certainly not. He does generally look down because he's so big. they're fantastic. They certainly respect it. You can tell when they're having a conversation that they know I probably won't want to hear. You know, they'll move away. There'll probably be a time in their lives where they'll consider and really think about, you know, why they're here and what's going to happen when they die. And hopefully when that time comes, I'll be there to guide them in the right direction.
Has your wife, you've got three children, I understand, has your wife and children seen a change in you from when you were, you know, running wild to now that you're a believer?
Yeah, I think when I first started playing professional rugby, my parents had just split up, so I played with a lot of anger, really. And I guess I was reckless in terms of on the field and off the field. And now when I play, you know, I play because that's the talent I've got, and the joy of actually giving glory to God through my talents, you know. And channeling my energy in different ways, really.
Anyone else with another question? Well, Deacon, let me just give you this scenario, right? You've had a fantastic life, but if I was to give you an option to live this life that you're having, or to follow Christ, which one would it be?
Oh, certainly to follow Christ. Everything that I've had or own, it's very materialistic, and it'll be gone when I die, and I can't take anything with me once I die, or once anyone dies. To have Christ in my life, and to know that He is my Saviour, and when I die, I'll be reunited with Him. You know, it's a fantastic and comforting thing to know.
Excellent. Can I just explore that a bit more? Because some of you may think, you know, that's a no-brainer. I would easily play rugby in a World Cup and everything. Can I just explore this with you, Deacon?
Yeah.
You are made captain for the Scarlets. It's in a Heineken Cup now, final against Toulouse. And you get to lift the trophy for Scarlets, go down as a legend in history against Toulouse, or the other option is to follow Christ. So you get one or the other. Which one would it be?
Oh, again, to follow Christ, because that's everlasting. Glory is just here on earth, and it will fade.
Okay. Well, one more scenario. I've enjoyed these scenarios. Okay, you are, again, captain of Fiji. And you make your way, it's a Rugby World Cup in England, and you've made, well, got the team to the final, and your opposition is Wales. And it's now 16-all, it's 79 minutes on the clock, George North is running onto you, 2-on-1 overlap with Halfpenny, and you're the last man. And George North inexplicably throws a long pass to Halfpenny, you intercept, you run the field, sidestep, handoff, North and Halfpenny, score a try, legend for Fiji, or, after all that, winning the Fiji World Cup for Fiji, or being a follower of Christ, which one would it be?
Oh, I think, firstly, you've got too much spare time on your hands to think of that scenario. I'm certainly a follower of Christ. One, I think if I did get an intercept, I wouldn't be able to run more than 2 metres before I got chopped down, I think.
No, thank you. What do you want all of us to take home with us tonight? One message you wanted us to get across.
Just a message, really, of just questions, really. Questions of why you're here, and questions of what's going to happen when you die. That was one of the questions that I had for myself and for my family. For me, it was being a Christian was an emotional response, so it was a feeling, and also was a pretty logical approach as well. I'm a very logical thinker, and the more I read, the more everything made sense. The overlapping of the Old and New Testament and how it just seamlessly joined together was a huge part of my faith and what strengthens my faith even today.
Is there anything we can pray for you?
I guess being in a rugby environment, just to pray that there are more followers in not only rugby but in sport itself, because there's a lot of influences on young children these days, and to have those people as role models, showing their beliefs in Christ, will be fantastic.
Excellent. I just want to get something quickly. You're dressed for the occasion, but I thought to make you feel a bit more homely in Mid-Wales, something.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you.
To wear to make you more comfortable. Thank you. And there's two books there, Deacon, for you to take into your sports bag.
Oh, thank you.
And Deacon is actually going to Hong Kong to play for the Pacific Barbarians against.
Saracens and
against Saracens, so he'll be jet setting soon. So let's keep him in our prayers that he's a good influence on everyone around him. But can I just tell you this, that if you're looking to Deacon for inspiration, it's misguided. Don't even look to me, your parents, your best mate. Everyone will let you down. John Terry will let you down. Barack Obama will let you down. This says in the Bible, and Deacon will agree with me, don't look to us, but look to Jesus, who is the perfecter and founder of our faith. Like, he will not let you down. I dare you to pick up a Bible and find a flaw in Jesus. There is none. And I urge you to go and look. And if you are serious about it, there are tracts in the back. There's a table full of free stuff. So you have to take that home and read it tonight. Don't delay. Don't delay. Deacon's come all the way from Llanelli because he has this to tell you, that it's worth committing your life to Jesus. And there's tracts there just to explain what Deacon believes, what I believe, and then there are books to buy as well if you're more serious. All right? So I urge you. Tim's holding them in the back. Free New Testament, that's what we like. Everything is free, that's what we want. And we are going to have pudding now, chocolate brownies and ice cream and whatnot. But before we go up, let's just say a word of prayer again and pray with me. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for Deacon, that he's come all the way just to tell us how wonderful you are, that you are worth everything, that everything is rubbish compared to the surpassing worth of knowing you. Help us all to believe in the Lord Jesus. Help us all to search and to look at him and to find out ourselves what he means. And I just pray that you'd be with Deacon, that he would witness to the likes of George North, and that he would also come to the realization that you are amazing. And I just pray that you'd be with Deacon in this difficult environment, and thank you for him. And bless him, I pray. Bless his family as well. In your name, amen.